Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcast from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best-selling show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
And welcome back to the Elton Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio Meltdown.
Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
Alright, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind, I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? That's 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're all nice and warm wherever you are. It's freezing cold here as usual, being December. Welcome to another episode of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. So if you've listened on the download, bad for you. Get yourself in the chat room. So we go live Tuesdays at 8 p.m. UK time, which is 3 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, I have a topic, which I should have done a couple of weeks ago, but due to the technical problems, I couldn't do it. I will be talking about DLC and, you know, what it means to us from the past generation and, from the generation that we are in now, the PlayStation 4 generation, the Xbox One generation, that sort of stuff. Bits and pieces here and there. I've got a load of news to get to. A whole bunch of stuff. It's going to be a good show tonight. Don't forget, a couple of weeks, it will be the last show of the year, and for a little while I take a little hiatus, and it will be the Game of the Year show, which is on New Year's Eve. So that's going to be one of the biggest shows this year for this show. But yeah, so, you know, get your Game of the Year, what you think is, you know, so you can email it to us, you know, if you want to email, I'll get to the email first. antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You can email it there, or, you know, you go to the Facebook group. I'm going to set up a topic in a couple of weeks, when we get closer. But I have a topic for next week, and I need that cleared, so I'll give you plenty of time. But if you want to join the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Also, you can like our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter @MLRGamerRadio. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to doing the Game of the Year show. It's going to be a lot of fun. I have actually been playing stuff this week. You know, I've been playing Resistance, but I'll get to that. I'll get the minor stuff out of the way. I actually been playing something on my iPod, which is a bit well, new to me recently since I haven't really been playing too much. I'm still waiting on that Bar Oasis 3. I have no idea when we're going to get that, but I want more of the story. I love Bar Oasis. Great game. I played this one a guy at work told me about. It's called 4-in-1. It's basically a sort of word association type puzzle thing. It's like they give you four pictures. This game's free, by the way, so you know, go and pick it up. It's a lot of fun. Test your brain. It's like they give you four pictures. I mean, one I did before, it was like a picture of some corn, some flowers, and the sun. And so it, basically, the word was yellow, and it gives you, you know, the space to write the word out. And it gives you letters to, you know, to put into the spaces. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's very sort of picture word association. It tests your intellect as well, because like you think something is going to be this answer, but it's not. The game's from America, because it was like they had soccer, which we don't say over here, and they had vacation, which we say holiday. But yeah, it's a really fun game. I think I'm up to 47. I think now. It's a decent game. It's a lot of fun, actually. About 10 minutes before this went live, I was literally just sitting here trying to do a couple more. But it is a lot of fun. It's a great game. It's worth picking up. I get this other one, CSR Racing, that my mate told me about. I haven't had a chance to play it. I downloaded an update for it just before the start of doing the show. So I'll get to playing that, and then I'll tell you about it next week, you know, once I get time. What else? Oh, yes. I said last week I was doing that 3D castle thing. The castle game in the 3DS. With your little me characters. I beat the final boss, which is this big ghost. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. It gives you an item at the end, and it says you can go back through it to get more and more items, because there's loads of different like hats and stuff that you can wear, like accessories and stuff for your me character. I'm not sure how many, but there's like, I think there's probably like 200 from the looks of it. Cause at least I scrolled down the list they gave you, and there's so many blank spaces, and there's like only, cause you only get about I think it's like about four or five maybe, as you go through each game, and you know, you can keep going through it again and again and again. And, I've started doing it again, going through it a little bit. But my thing I have been doing, cause literally I used up all my star coins, the balking, you know, the pedometer type coin things that I got on the puzzle pictures. I think I've got 7 full ones now that sort of, you know, match the shapes and stuff. And luckily, when I go to work, I get on the train. There's a Nintendo zone there, so it sort of sends over any any of the Mii's. Mii pass stuff, and it sends it straight to my 3DS, which is great, and it helps me out because it, you know, means I can sort of finish off the puzzle pictures easier, and it, you know, gets me going through the castle again. And now I've had a lot of fun with it. It's really good. I'm sort of, you know, making sure I have, you know, I get enough coins every day and do enough walking. That is, but yeah, so I've finished it. Doing more, keep going through it. Just, you know, it's just something to do. But yeah, I have been doing my usual Pokemon stuff. I'm sort of picked a Pokemon at random the other week. And I said, I want this one to be the best, you know, it can be. And I picked a Heracross and basically sort of bred it with a bunch of others, looked on Smogon and, you know, this is a good ability, what have you. Bred it. I've got, now I have the perfect Heracross, you know, it's outstanding. You know, the judge said it was outstanding, so that's the best. And it's got like 5 perfect IVs. In everything, in HP, attack, defense, special defense, and speed. Didn't bother with special attack because literally there's nothing in its special attack, so it's perfect. And also, by weird chance, I bred a shiny one as well. But it's a pain in the ass because the ability on this one for the shiny Heracross isn't the one I wanted. So basically, and the stats are okay, but it's not the best. But it's pretty good. But yeah, I say I'm actually quite surprised. I mean, the shiny Heracross is actually, it's pink, because the normal Heracross is sort of like a dark blue navy colour. But, I mean, you know, the pink Heracross I do get, you know, the shiny one is female, so, you know, it fits. But yeah, so, you know, that's pretty much it with Pokemon. I haven't been doing too much of sort of cutting back, to be honest. I'm sort of getting bored. I'm waiting for the big transfer so I can send all my Pokemon across, and then I can start, you know, breeding other stuff, and you know, because literally there's, you know, 700 and something Pokemon I need to send over, and I've only got so many spots. So literally, I'm definitely gonna be using that Poke Bank just to, you know, get it all cleared. And I need to, literally, I've got a whole page and a half, box and a half on my cart to wander trade some Pokemon about, and you know, get some bits and pieces, because I mean, I've got a Protean Froakie which I want to use, and you know, other bits and pieces as well. And you know, it's a lot of fun. I'm just sort of waiting for the Poke Bank and Poke Transfer app to come out, and then I can start doing that. But the big things I have been playing this week, Resistance and Resistance 2. My mate lent me these games. They're both really good. I mean, I didn't play too much of Resistance because basically I just used it to sort of refresh myself with the character and the story. Basically, for people who haven't played it, I mean, the game came out in 2006, so if you have a PlayStation 3, you should have bought it. It is one of the better, one of the better PlayStation 3 games that we got just around launch time, I believe. Basically, you play this American soldier, Nathan Hale, and basically it's set during the 50s. Sort of alternate history. The Chimera, they spread from Russia, and then they sort of moved over. And the Chimera, these sort of alien, I think sort of alien hosts, basically, because they sort of changed human beings into their soldiers by sort of, you know, body modifications, that sort of stuff, and basically just took over the whole of you know, Eastern Europe, Russia, the you know, all that sort of area, and then they spread to England, and then they sort of, you know, basically, we sort of start in the north of the country and then work our way down to London. It's a really good game. I mean, the graphics don't really hold up. I mean, this is what surprised me when I was sort of playing it. When I first started playing it, you know, back in 2006, I was like, wow, the graphics are amazing. Look how good they are. I mean, I had the same thing with the first Gears of War game. I'm playing it on the giant screen TV. Look at all the detail. You know, I mean, I haven't had a chance to finish downloading my copy of that free copy of Gears of War, which is... for the next couple of days, the gold free game of the month, this half of the month anyway. I say the graphics don't really hold up. I mean, they look, from what I think I'd say, they probably look like a high-def PlayStation 2 graphics. But, I mean, this game is from Insomniac, from, you know, the Ratchet & Clank studios, but it's a really good game. I think I got about a quarter of the way and thought, yep, I'm fully refreshed in the story. There's nothing more I need to know. I mean, it's weird how the control scheme is as well. I mean, it's the same for the second one, but it, you know, now we have, with, you know, year after year of the Call of Duty games, we've got a set way of how the controls are set up. You know, left trigger, right trigger, left trigger for zoom, you know, triangle for weapon swap, you know, whatever it is for grenade. You know, the basic Call of Duty setup, which I think Halo uses as well. I haven't played Halo in years. But, you know, the basic setup that most... Kinesis in chats. Yes, it's free on Xbox Live. If you're thinking Gears of War, yes. sorry. I'm trying to hide it, but literally I am bunged up with cold and I've got a cough and I'm just, you know, probably sound terrible. I preferred the last cold I had where I sounded like Mersh. That was great. Gears of War is free on Xbox Live for the next, I think, 4 or 5 days. So make sure you download it, because Gears of War is an amazing game. It's surprising how... I mean, I'm a big fan of Resistance. I mean, it's one of those things that sort of broke me into... the new console generation, which is, to be honest, the last console generation, but it's one of those games that I had tons of fun with. It's literally, it's weird, right? People have said that with Halo, it was the defining game for first person shooters, the control scheme, and this sort of stuff. But I'm like, Halo. The first Halo came out before Resistance, but. It's one of those things. If Halo was the defining thing when it comes to controls, then Resistance would have picked up something like that. But it didn't. That's why I don't really like the controls in Resistance. That's why I'm sort of glad, actually, in game you can change the controls, and I have been changing the controls to basically what I'm used to. But, you know, I think Halo's overrated, but what people say about, you know, how it defined first-person shooters and stuff like this, but, you know, not really. It's, you know what I'm getting at, you know, fucking weeks and weeks I'm saying, you know, about Halo. But, yeah, I mean, Resistance is a great game to play, and, you know, because there's nothing really to play at the moment. I mean, one of the guys I subscribed to on YouTube, he was saying about how the online for Call of Duty Ghosts is pretty much dead, sort of dying out. Which, to be honest, if you actually think about it, having the past, when did we get Modern Warfare? You know, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, was it 2007, 6, probably? Yeah. I think 2006, actually. Yeah, I mean, how many Call of Duty games we got? So basically, you're splitting up your demographic between those games. So basically, people who like Black Ops are, you know, who are playing Call of Duty Ghosts and are still have Black Ops are going, well, this is fun, but I want to go back to Black Ops, and which I've been told, and people keep telling to me. I know Sean does, and I think JJ Stone does as well. About how, you know, Black Ops has the better multiplayer. But thing is, I've said this before, I don't like Treyarch. I'm not a fan of their studio when it comes to their games. I didn't like the first Black Ops with multiplayer because the screen felt too narrow for me and the gun looked too big because it was basically being shot at left and right because I can't see the full screen because you've got a giant gun in the way. But I don't know. I'm not that fast. But, you know, I haven't picked up Call of Duty Ghost. I have no intention to. There's no point. There's, you know, I just don't feel it's me. I mean, I'm looking forward to Titanfall when that comes out. I do need to actually get to sort of do some serious time and play on my 360 to see if that battery problem has fixed itself or whatever it's going wrong. Because I literally am playing PlayStation 3 all the time at the moment, you know. I'm sort of going through stuff, and I want to. It's weird. I want to pick up a copy of Batman Arkham Asylum, the first Batman game, the real Batman game with Kevin Conroy, not this Batman Arkham Origins thing with, you know, not Kevin Conroy in it. But you know, I want to play that again. But I mean, I do have a copy of it here. I don't know. I'll probably just sit down and start playing it on my Xbox and just to test out how my Xbox is. But I mean, I turned it on when I was playing. I was downloading Gears of War, and it sort of lets you make. It sounded like it was going to explode, so I'm like a bit worried about it, to be honest. But yeah, I say, you know, Resistance 1, great to sort of get a refresher in and have a little play with, you know, sort of, you know, get in touch with the character, you know. Relive some lost memories. I mean, I only beat it the once. Played a lot of the multiplayer. Actually, multiplayer was a lot of fun. But yeah, I jumped straight into Resistance 2, which I haven't done too much of, to be honest. I mean, I'm not exactly too sure how far I've got in the games at the moment, because basically I'm sort of... I don't want to know where I am. I just want to play through it and, you know, enjoy it. And yeah, I basically... Story takes place just after Resistance 2. You sort of see... At the beginning of the game, the final end scene for Resistance 1, where basically Nathan Howell gets picked up by all these soldiers, and you get helicoptered back to just one of those like cargo jet planes sort of things, and you basically get Kenny's in the chat. It says fuck this. This is going to take hours. He's downloading Gears of War. Yes, it's like 6 gigabytes, mate. I'd say you download it now, it'll take about a week. That's why I need to turn my Xbox on, but I'm worried that it might blow up halfway through downloading this bloody thing. But yeah, I know, what the fuck, what was I saying? Yeah, Resistance. This is sort of set just after, Resistance 1 finished. Basically, you're back, I think you start off in Iceland. I think that's what happens. Yeah, you do a little bit at the beginning of the game, and then it's like 2 years after. So I think it's like 1953 now. So basically, you're, you know, heading to America, and that's where the big, you know, fights are going to take place. I mean, I don't really know too much about Resistance 2 apart from the fact that it's Yeah, sorry, Kniz in the chat says, you think with a fiber optic connection, you would wouldn't have to deal with this. Yeah, I know. I've got the same. I'm with Virgin Broadband. We have fiber optic stuff as well. It takes ages. It really does. But, you know, I mean, I pay shit tons of money for my internet. There we go. Yeah. It's a fun game. I mean, I have a lot of fun. The controls, same as the first resistance controls, they're not the best in the world, but they're okay. It's fun. It's, you know, it's literally, I mean, the first thing they did, they gave was like a rocket launcher, and there's a giant fucking armored walker thing that I had to take out to shoot its engines on the back. You know, I haven't really done too much with Resistance. It's a great game. You know, I'm a big fan of the series. But I'm hoping to get finished with Resistance 2, get myself a copy of Resistance 3 to finish the story, because I don't think they're trying to make it any more Resistance games. I do need to pick up, Killzone as well, Killzone 2. Just so basically when I do get my PlayStation 4 eventually, I can play Killzone. And, you know, I've still got Infamous, the first Infamous game on my PlayStation as well. I've got that to play through. And there's tons of stuff. There's tons of stuff I need to play on a PlayStation, because literally I've been neglecting it for several years. I mean, I would like to pick up Metal Gear Solid again and, you know, play that again. But, you know, I'm sort of stuck now. I'm thinking, do I get Metal Gear Solid 4, or do I just buy another copy of the Metal Gear Solid trilogy with 2 and 3 in it? I don't know. I'm not that fussed. That's pretty much all I've been playing. Yeah, Resistance, yeah, pretty much it. I say not too much, because there's not much to play until I get the new console, but to be honest, even with the new console, there's still nothing to play. So I did watch all of the South Park episodes, all three of those with the Xbox versus PlayStation. That was so funny. I think, you know, that's the thing. It's, you know, you could buy an Xbox now. It's overpriced. It's more expensive than a PlayStation 4. But it actually has games that you can play. Whereas you can buy a PlayStation 4, sorry, which is cheaper, doesn't come with a useless camera, but has practically no games worth playing. You know, it's got Killzone, which I do want to play. You know, Xbox is winning this generation's console war at the moment, but there's nothing, you know, PlayStation, as soon as they get their games and, you know, all the stuff we saw during E3, that Swords and Sorcery, was it Down to Earth, that's that shitty Chris Rock movie. I can't remember the hell it's called. Deep Down, I think that's it. You know, there's tons of stuff that I want to play on the PlayStation 4. And that sorcery game with that old guy. You know, tons of it. It's just basically, you know, I have to wait. But you know, I'm just reading the chat. So pretty much it, really. But so I'll lead into this week's topic, which is basically on DLC. You know, DLC has been a major thing for this last generation. I mean, it gave us good things and bad things. You know, bad thing being the horse armor from Elder Scrolls, which I'll admit I bought it because I wanted my horse to look nice. But then basically, with my horse gets killed, you lose your armor, and it's not exactly the greatest thing in the world. But I mean, you know, it has changed. It has changed how we've been given games. I mean, you know, I mean, stuff has been literally, if you look at EA, stuff has been put behind like a price wall when it comes to, where's my notes? Here we go. Yeah, like you know, think about stuff that we used to get, not free, but it was, you know, it was like, you know, you'd unlock a new skin or there'd be secret characters and stuff. You know, I mean, how many, you know, unlocking, like Mortal Kombat, you know, unlock Human Smoke or, you know, the Maskless Sub-Zero, you know, stuff like that. You unlock new cars, but now it's basically we get, you know, skin packs, car packs, like, you know, I mean, Forza 5, that's a big, you know, pisses everyone off at the moment. Because basically what they've done with Forza 5, I mean, I watched this in the, I was watching the, I think Kenny's tried to post something in the chat room. It looks like the Matrix, to be honest. But no, it's with Forza 5, they put all the best cars behind a paid DLC. So you basically, if you want like the Bugatti and all the, you know, the Mercedes and that sort of stuff, you got to pay. And it's not exactly cheap. Considering how, sorry, I'm sick. But no, I say, you know, they want you to put high, that's very funny. That is very funny. Kinnear's in the chat's put the, ain't got time for that woman, was it Sweet Brown? I don't know, Lazy from, Gentleman Show, he knows her. Basically put downloading games, from Xbox Live, ain't nobody got time for that. Very, very funny, my friend, very, very funny. But yeah, I say, you know, they put it behind a price wall, so now you got to pay for stuff which basically, from having DLC come out this quick, is stuff that's already on the disc. So basically, it's an unlock code, which pissed off so many people this past generation. It's like with the EA games, the Need for Speed stuff, and any sort of racing game. I think EA with the Need for Speed stuff is probably the best example I can make, actually. It's basically you have download codes for like get all the cars, unlock everything. It's like you're taking the fun away from the game, and it's all well and good to people who want to pay for that, it's your own money, whatever. But it's like, if you pay for this stuff, and a significant amount of people do pay for this, then it increases the thought from the people at EA, the managers and the board members, like, wow, they're really buying this. Let's do more of it instead of. Well, I mean, to be honest, it's taken a while for them to get used to, I think I've said this last week, about the online pass, how that got scrapped because people didn't like it. But, this whole, pay for everything to unlock at once, what's the point of playing the game? I mean, I look at stuff like, I think with the Need for Speed Most Wanted, not the most recent one, came out a year or so ago now. How terrible that game was. I remember talking about the last year's Game of the Year. But, that had an unlocked code for everything. It's like, but you didn't really need it because all cars were unlocked anyway. And it's like, it takes a piss. It really does. But I mean, say, all this stuff we used to get, unlocks, characters, costumes, skin packs. Why pay for a skin pack? I mean, what? It's a different costume. It's nothing. It's just an aesthetic. It's nothing that actually benefits the game. I mean, It's just a pain in the ass. But I mean, we do get this, a lot of this disc-based DLC, downloadable stuff. Excuse me, sorry, I had a lot of onions and garlic before the show and my tea. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of piss take going on amongst all the developers when it comes to DLC. I mean, I think about the Prince of Persia game that we got, where the one that you couldn't die, you sort of fall off, and it's you'd be brought back to life. I mean, the epilogue, the real ending for that, you had to pay for. Chickalez in the chat. Hello, mate. It's one of those. He's put me off now. No. I just don't want I'm not the voice of the gaming community. I'm the voice of one of the voices, the More Like Radio gaming community. But I don't want to see us getting, fucked over when it comes to DLC. I mean, having to pay for stuff like epilogue stuff, alternate endings. I mean, I didn't buy the DLC for Assassin's Creed 3, which was basically, the King Washington stuff, because it was an alternate history. It's like, this doesn't have any focus on the actual main game itself. It's stuff that never happened, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, I feel like we're being sold games piecemeal. It's like, we don't get a full game anymore. We're getting part of a game. We pay a lot of money for a part of a game. Considering now, how much games cost on the newer consoles, you know, Stuart, vouch for Stuart, you know, how much, if you've seen it, that is, let us know, that'd be nice. How much, you know, PlayStation 4 games and Xbox One games cost out in the States? I mean, over here, you're looking just under 60 quid. But, you know, which is about 20 quid more than, you know, what we're used to. But I'm, you know, you know, Stuart Jack says, most game DLC I've been disappointed in, DLC wise, was Dead Space 3. But he liked the King Washington stuff. What was the DLC? What was the Dead Space 3 DLC? What did we? Because I know me and you played that together. What was it? Was it? Because it wasn't any character. It wasn't any. What the hell was the DLC for Dead Space 3? Oh, hang on. No, that was the. No, that was okay. Sorry, I'm talking in my head now. No, I think the Dead Space 3 DLC was basically where you got to play as some of the other characters from, was it Dead Space? What am I thinking? Insurrection? What was the hell? The PlayStation DLC stuff that came out. Dead Space. I can't remember what the hell. But yeah, there was a Dead Space game. It was like on Rails. It came out on the Wii. It did. Yeah, it came out on the Wii. It was a Dead Space game that came out on there, and you played as some of the characters. It was not bad. I didn't mind it, to be honest. It brought to life some of the characters I didn't know about. But you know, it was fun. But just, I want Dead Space 4. I need that game. I really do. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to think about some good Dead Space soggy biscuits. Yeah. but no, I love Dead Space. Dead Space was an amazing game. But yeah, I mean, other stuff DLC that we've got, I mean, I was kind of disappointed with the Metro Last Light DLC. I mean, considering that how the game, which is a shit now. I'm just thinking about Metro Last Light because it's such an amazing game. And if you haven't bought it, go and buy it. Metro Last Light, great game. Considering how that game ends, it's like, we're not going to get another Metro game. That takes a piss. Unless you got the good ending when, you know. Which I still haven't seen yet. I need to see it. I do need to see it. But, you know, what else of stuff? I mean, because we've had tons of games come out with good DLC, bad DLC, you know. I think, you know, I'm just looking at, you know. Well, I think the DLC, though, the DLC has actually made up the actual collector's editions that we are getting, you know. That's you know, that adds to the whole what we've been getting from what you call it. Oh, just an update. Kinez is downloading 20% on Gears of War at the moment. So, you know, just let you know, 20%. But yeah, you know, the whole collector's edition has basically skyrocketed on what we've got from DLC wise. You know, I mean, look at what I talked about before Assassin's Creed 4 came out. The Buccaneer pack and all, you know, all those different things that come with statues and maps and like DLC codes, and it's like I just bought a standard edition. I didn't really need any of it. Hang on, sorry, just reading the chat. Yeah, Stuart saying they were supposed to have like three fucking packs for it, and EA. What do you mean no Dead Space 4? I think there is a Dead Space 4. It's coming out in a couple of years. They're sitting on it. They weren't too sure. But you can't... Oh, what a bunch of bars. I need to tweet some people after the show. I can't tell Stuart to find the article because he's on his phone. I have to look for this during the break. But yeah. Damn it. No Dead Space 4. That's a... There has to be Dead Space 4. Just to finish off the... You can't finish. You need to finish off the story with Dead Space 4. You know the moons are alive. They're back on Earth. You know, oh, it takes a piss. That really does. EA, you're a bunch of bastards. But yeah, I mean, you know, the DLC is made up in the collector's edition. I'm looking at it now at my Hitman Absolution collector's edition. Collector's edition that had a bunch of DLC codes for new guns and stuff, and we had the sniper challenge. Sniper challenge, one of the best bits of DLC. Ever this generation, I mean, a ton of people will agree with me because it's quite fun actually, and the sort of little pun here, the pot shot at Assassin's Creed, where there was an Assassin's Creed character right at the far side of the game, sort of like hanging off the edge. And when you actually shot him, you heard the eagle noise that they use. Tons of, that was really funny. But yeah, it just pisses me off with the DLC stuff these days. You know, it's like, see, that's the thing. It's like, you know, people sort of, you know, decide with your wallet. If you want this game, you'll buy the collector's edition, that's, you know, that sort of stuff. But because people buy all this stuff and all the DLC, they keep doing it. And, you know, they keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And, you know, we think about, you know, more and more will happen. And now we have the new generation stuff. I mean, it's still too early to tell what's going to happen to the DLC as a structure. I mean, I think it's going to change. I think it's probably going to get worse. I think. See, I'm not too sure because literally we're about 3 weeks into the brand new consoles. But I think they'll keep doing I think it's safe to say that they'll keep doing the collector's edition for the with DLC codes and that sort of stuff, and the certain cars for doing certain game, you know, racing games, that sort of stuff. Whatever we get for sort of action adventure type games, maybe, you know, the Uncharted 4 will have some sort of DLC stuff, or, you know, but it just pisses me off that the fact that we're getting, you know, our games, how we should be getting our games. Well, that's the thing. It's, we're getting our games, you know, how they're coming to us. We're getting them broken. We get downloadable, we have to update, download the 1 day patch, to get the games to work when we get the brand new game. And now we're having like parts of the game segmented away. You need a download code for it. But I mean, you know, some good stuff has come from, downloadable content. I mean, I think it was the Broken Steel Pack, which fixes the ending of Fallout 3. So basically when your character does die, if you chose to, you know, be sacrificed yourself, you can actually, you know, not come back to life, but you're actually saved. It's, you know, it was, you know, it was quite funny though how, you know, Bethesda could be so stupid when it comes to stuff like that. You know, make a game with an open world. As soon as you get to the ending, your character's dead, and you know. But no, you know, it taught them a lesson, and now, well, it's supposed to taught everyone in the whole game and games industry a whole lesson about it. You know, don't do it. You know. But, you know, it's a problem. I mean, maybe, you know, companies will learn. I can't even believe my own bullshit. You know, I want companies to learn and say, all right, we're not going to take the piss when it comes to DLC. The thing is, though, when it comes to companies, all they care about is profits and making money. And it's like, putting stuff as DLC or unlock codes on from discs makes them more money, then they'll keep doing it. But you know, this is why you hear me saying I never buy games outright, or I wait for it coming on sale. And you know, I downloaded Iron Brigade. I could have paid for it, but it came free with the Xbox Live Gold thing. Sorry, Stuart's in the chat about the Dead Space. I need to find out. I'm going to tweet someone and try and get some information, because I don't think they've given Dead Space the axe. They can't. The game's amazing. They've made three. They can't just not tell us the story. I mean, they're not fucking Shenmue in this shit. I know that. I mean, you know, I was talking to a guy at work about Shenmue. Fucking love that game. But yeah, I mean, it's too early to tell what they want to do with DLC, but, you know, if this stuff makes the money, they're going to want to make as much money as possible from us. But I don't know. Stuart's in chat says, I downloaded Assassin's Creed 2 and that took barely over an hour. I have a mobile hotspot on my phone for my internet as well. I know. We've talked about, you know, me and Stuart play games together. All the time. But yeah, I say, so this so worries me for the next, you know, console generation. It's like, what will happen in about 7 or 8 years time? What will the state of DLC be then? It's like, well, that's the thing as well. Microtransactions, basically what we're doing, to be honest. You know, we're paying for parts of the game, you know. Microtransactions with guns, you know, I mean, I've said this before with when Sarcastic Gamer used to be funny and good back in the day. Oh, Kniz is at 28%. Just to let you know. But no, it's... I mean, you know, I say with Sarcastic Gamer, I love the show back in the day, you know, the first 40 episodes or something. And then they started... There was a big boycott of... was it Battlefield Bad Company, where the gold edition, you could buy these guns, you know, that were, you know, better guns than what you could get in game. And there was, you know, they boycotted EA and all their stuff, which, you know, worked out well for EA, I think, with the boycott, and it brought a lot of attention to them. But at the end of the day, they all went out, you know, and bought, all three of the hosts, went out and bought the gold editions anyway with the guns. So it was like, well, shit, you said you didn't want to do it and you still went out and bought the gold editions. It's like, well, what's the fucking point? But yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, it comes to stuff like this that actually gives a player an advantage over another player when it comes to DLC, guns, cars, that sort of stuff. Then it becomes irksome. It's, you know, it's something we don't really want. I don't know. But no, I've got some articles which I've been saving up. And this is an older article as well. This is from, what's this from? LazyGamer.net. Yeah, I've never heard of them either. But yeah, this is an article from, 2010. The problem with DLC. Downloadable content has become a large part of gaming during this generation, allowing developers and publishers to add even more content on their game long after release. On their games long after release. Sure, in the past we had expansion packs and some that were even available via download, which is basically DLC. But DLC has finally become commonplace in the market, and it has also become an expected feature with every new title that it releases. Is DLC really working out so well? Let's have a look at some of the major problems that have arisen so far. The reason that these issues sprung to mind is because of something that happened to me recently. This is from the person writing this. What have I done? Fucking clicked the wrong button. There we go. Bloody thing. Problem with scrolling again. Last year I renewed Assassin's Creed 2 for the Xbox 360 and was blown away with the entire experience. Simply couldn't get enough. The knowledge that developers already planned additional DLC got me very excited, because once it all ended, I just wanted more, and this was the answer. A little while down the line, the first set of DLC Assassin's Creed 2 was called The Battle of Forli, was released, and found out it wasn't... A little while down the line, the first set of DLC for Assassin's Creed 2, called The Battle of Forli, was released, and found that I just wasn't interested in downloading it anymore. I felt the same about Mass Effect 2, if not more so. I loved the game so much that I gave it my very first perfect review score. Nothing could tear me away from playing it, and even though there was hours and hours of fun to be had, I couldn't wait to play it even more when the DLC was made available. But not a short while later, the first set of DLC missions had been released in the shape of the Firewalker download, which was shit, to be honest. Not only is it additional game time with one of my favourite games of the year, but also adding a completely new gameplay element, the hover vehicle, to the game, and it's even completely free. Why then do I find that I couldn't be bothered to even download it? I mean, I was just dying to get my hands on more of it when it finished earlier this year, and now I don't care anymore. Add the exact same story to Fallout 3, and I had a reason to write an article about. There was a few factors that have an effect on these scenarios. It would be foolish to ignore the power of hype, which is sometimes something that us reviewers have been very careful about at all times, but it still exists. When you're excited for a new game that you've just bought, it's all that you want to be about. You dive deep down in the world and you immerse yourself in the genre and the setting. Once you're done with the game and the few weeks pass, that excitement gradually fades away as gamers, we already start to focus on the next best thing that's going to be available. I get what the person's saying. It's like, you play something, right, and it's... Yeah, I know. Stuart's in a fucking. Yeah, I know we haven't because my Xbox is on the blink. That's why we haven't played together for a while, mate. And basically, I have no. Literally, I've sold all my games for my Xbox, so I've got nothing to play, to be honest. But yeah, I'm basically what the person's saying. That it's like it's a double-edged sword. It's like it's nice that we get in the DLC, but to be honest, there is an initial hype for what we play in. What we have been playing has gone down. So basically, it's like, see, that's the thing, right? I mean, it makes me wonder. What that person's saying is, we want the DLC closer to the actual release of the game, so that once we're done, we just, you know, we have it so soon after release. But what's the point? I think what the point the person's trying to say is, well, what I'm thinking actually is, put the DLC in with the game so you make, you know, make the game bigger. But the problem is, which, you know, I've heard developers say, is like there's only so much space on the discs. But now we have the Blu-ray disc, which is basically used by both systems, you know, both new consoles. You know, you can put that, so much of the, what do you call it? You can put all that DLC, well, not even DLC, it wouldn't be in DLC then, it would be, you know, part of the story. But, you know, that's basically what I was trying to get at with, oh, what the hell is it? With, oh shit, the unlockable stuff. It's like, just, you know, put it on the disc and have it as a lock code, but I don't know. But yeah, it's a pain in the ass. It's just one of those things that's, that, you know, you could make a bigger game, but you want to segment it, cut it up, and then sell it on. But yeah, but to be honest though, I mean, this is a 3-year-old article. Sorry, scrolling through Windows. But yeah, I'm just trying to make a comparison now. But it's like, you know, the Assassin's Creed 2 DLC was actually pretty good, but the Mass Effect stuff was quite shit. I mean, we did get some better stuff towards the end with the, was it the Overlord? I think it was the Overlord. Yeah, the Overlord one was quite good. And the, what was it with, the blue chick? I can't remember. Liara, yeah. Where she was taken over for the boss and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that was fun. But yeah, it's just one of those things. It's as, when you're playing it, it's as the actual, you know, the joy of playing the game, it goes down because you're not playing it. But the thing is that, I mean, you know, that depends on, I'll have to call into to credit how focused this person was in actually playing the game, considering the fact that I'm sort of mostly mostly through my second playthrough of Grand Theft Auto, and I haven't really touched the multiplayer. I mean, I've bought that the $400,000 apartment with the garage, and you know, I've got that, but to be honest, there's nothing really else that's keeping me to the game. But we all feel differently about the game, but about games in general. But when it comes to DLC, it's like we want more from the game, but we want stuff that ties into actual story. And you know, the Firewalker stuff, when you get access to the hover vehicle, that's nice to get access to, but it wasn't anything substantial. I mean, most of the DLC we get is. See, this could even call into question the fact that how quick games come out. I mean, because we want, maybe all games should be made now with, you know, less DLC but more replayability, which is what we're getting from multiplayer. We, you know, Call of Duty, Halo, you know, whatever racing game it is you're playing at the moment, Forza 5, you know, Call of Duty Ghosts, Halo 4, you know, it's just, it's one of those things. It's like we either get DLC or we get a bigger main game. But the thing is, though, as you've known for the past few months, I'll blitz for a game in about a week and, you know, drop it to one side, never play it again. But it's, let's say, that's a double-edged sword. It's we want, Kinesi in the chat says, more sex and violence, that's all we need. While I'm saying that, we're getting a Game of Thrones, what do you call it, point-and-click adventure from, I think it's from Telltale Games, you know, who do I don't know. You know, that's the thing, you know, I like DLC when it comes out, but it has to be. I mean, my main problem with DLC is I don't like the online the unlock code stuff, because that's, you know, you might as well just, you know, just charge more for your game and just have it unlocked anyway. But considering the fact that how much we're paying now for games, I'm hoping actually the price will go down, but I can't see it. Because, I mean, I think about now, right? You know, 60 quid we're paying for games now. You know, for Xbox One and, what do you call it, PlayStation 4. When we get to PlayStation 5 and the whatever the hell the next Xbox is going to be called, unless that, you know, what I read last week about that, one of the CEOs wanted to get rid of the Xbox gaming division, which would be the stupidest fucking decision in the world. But, you know, unless we get rid of it, it's like, well, how much are we going to be charged for games next generation, and how will that affect the DLC? I mean, I have no idea how long I'll be doing this show for, you know. I mean, this current generation is supposed to last, what, 10, 15 years, probably? I have no idea if I'll be doing the show that long. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, my main thing with DLC is I like it, but it depends how it's presented towards us. What's this other one? Here we go. Here we go. Yeah, I've got this from GameSpot as soon as it loads up for us. Let's talk about the future of gaming DLC. And this isn't... Come on, you bloody bastard. Here we go. How much am I paying for internet? It's still fucking taking ages to load. This is an older article as well. You know, this is, fuck off with the pop-ups. This is from 2010. Where does the future of gaming lie? Will we all be rocking games in 3D? Jesus Christ. Oh, hang on. That's why she sounds a bit stupid. She's from Australia. Almost tried to do an Australian accent. Will all our game purchases be over the internet? And will social games take over the more core titles? What the hell is this three-part feature? God, I'm not reading all that shit. But no, fuck it. Don't worry about that. But no, I say, yeah, Stuart's in the chat. Yeah, seriously, if they call the next Xbox the Xbox 2, I'm gonna dress up in my Assassin's Creed armor and go hunting for Major Nelson. We should start doing that now. We should start taking bets on what the fuck they're gonna call the next Xbox. yeah, Xboner. DLC, it's a great thing, as I've said, but how it's marketed to us is a pain in the arse. We're gonna get, you know, more collector's editions. So, you know, I think sort of collector's yeah, Matty's in the chat. Xbox X. Yeah, yeah, they would get laughed off the stage. Kenny's in the chat. Says Xbox Evolution or more pish. That's, yeah, exactly. Or Stuart's in the chat. Says he likes DLC, but it better be worth the cash I'm forking out for it. Exactly. It has to be worth something, which is basically, you know, as I said, you know, I said with Assassin's Creed 3, it wasn't worth me buying, so I didn't. You know, I mean, you know, Stuart, this question for you, mate. You've bought all these collector's editions for your games, you know, because I remember was it $500 that it was going to cost you for all these collector's editions? The DLC stuff you got with it, was it actually beneficial to you? Did it work? Was it, you know, was it a good thing? Or, I mean, did it feel, you know, the stuff you bought, did it add anything to your actual gameplay experience? Because, I mean, you know, I haven't really bought any collector's edition recently. I think, yeah, I don't think I have. I mean, the last collector's edition I bought was Assassin's Creed Absolution, and that was, I think it wasn't a collector's edition, it was, I think, just a special edition. It just came with a couple of codes. But, you know, I mean, I haven't bought the season pass for Assassin's Creed 4 yet, because I'm not even sure I'll bother with it. If it's worth it, I might. I mean, to be honest, I'm more interested in the Yeah, Canadian chat says DLC should be free since fucking Microsoft wants to charge us for online gaming. But yeah, PlayStation's charging us as well. PlayStation charges as well now with the PlayStation 4. You can't play PlayStation 4 any of your games online unless you have the PlayStation Plus account, which I do need. Matty's going nuts for Malcolm Tucker, who is the what the hell is his name? He's the new doctor. But yeah, I bet your inside thoughts are read in his voice as well. I can't wait for the Christmas special of Doctor Who. That's going to be amazing. Where was I? I lost my train of thought. But yeah, I mean, so if you're playing online now for PlayStation Plus, PlayStation 4, you need the PlayStation Plus account, which I do need to sign up for. I'm not in a hurry. I'll wait till I get a PlayStation 4, then I'll sign up for the PlayStation Plus account. I think it's pretty much run out on that topic, to be honest. I mean, DLC, it's a great thing when we get decent stuff for it, but we'll probably continue to get fucked over by the companies. As I said, Disc Space DLC, it's already on the disc, and you're just paying for an unlock code. EA doing whatever random bullshit they do when it comes to, unlock everything. It's like, it takes it away from the gaming experience. But yeah, next week's topic is going to be, now they're having Malcolm Tucker messages popping in the chat room now. But yeah, next week's topic is going to be about PC gaming, how it compares to the new current generation of gaming. Because, considering that PC has always been, if you've got money, you can buy the better sound cards, better graphics cards, all that sort of bullshit. But now that we have, my big thing about this topic is basically to do with graphics. That's going to be my focus when it comes to the PC stuff. You lot need to watch The Green Wing. That's such a good show. It's, it's an old show. Came out in, mid-2000s. 2006, I think. That's a really good show. If you like that sort of comedy. more messages now. I need to watch the thick of it. I really do. But I'm busy playing games, having a social life. More the first, less of the second. But no, next week is basically it's sort of a comparison between PC gaming and what we're getting now, considering the fact that we're getting some pretty good tech. And my whole thing is like, well, how far can PC gaming go? Considering that, better and better graphics cards, more and more expensive, when we're getting actually some pretty good graphics appearing from Xbox One and PlayStation 4. I mean, Xbox One, I look at Forza 5 for an example. The in-car view is like you see the bloke's arm and the steering wheel. How good that looks. And the thing is though, to keep up with the to actually see how good the graphics are getting. I mean, the only upgrade we'll need to make is to our TVs. Yeah, I know Matt's saying about Thick of It is an acquired taste. Yeah, I know I've been trying to get into it. I just haven't got around to watching it. But Green Wing, though, that's a really good show you should watch. But yeah, so next week's topic is going to be about sort of PC gaming and how it will compare to how it will compare to the new current generation consoles. Will we see a slowdown from PC gaming? Because to be honest, I don't really play any PC games. Because I didn't really bother with it or didn't really see a point. Stuart's in the chat about the DLC stuff I asked. He says, yes, I have a lot of collections, GTA 5, the DLC is nice. I get special cars online discounts in stores and some exclusive weapons. Campaign-wise, I got a free garage for each character. But I didn't really use the in-game garage anyway. For each character, weapons and exclusive clothes on and offline. Yeah, it's basic bare elements. It's not really, to me, it's not really that interesting. It's interesting, but it's not, it's not stuff I'm too worried about, to be honest. Oh, well, actual side note, this is actually quite funny. My mate at work said, because he plays a lot of, I think it's, was it GoldenEye? The, I think that's what he's playing, yeah, the online. And he got contacted by this Major League, some sort of Major League gaming clan. And they wanted to play, because they say he's very good. And they wanted to play, what do you call it? Call of Duty in one of their clans. But it was quite funny. I was like, I just felt bad for him. I didn't want to say, yeah, just, you know, nobody takes Major League Gaming seriously. It's one big joke. And, you know, I mean, I said about, you know, I think I told on here about the, there was an article on Kotaku about some sort of parody that was done with the pro gamers in, yeah, Stuart's in chat, sorry, just breaking point for a second. Yeah, about Assassin's Creed. There's some videos floating around. I need to get and have a look at them. You know, I'm not going to rebuy Assassin's Creed for the new console, you know, because I've already had to buy a second copy of Assassin's Creed already, so there's no point. But I think I can pay like I think it was like $10 or something, whatever it was, you know, over here to play it on the new PlayStation 4. I don't know. My mate was saying about, you know, playing with this clan. I was like, oh, so no, I've done that bit. Kotaku, yeah. About how I sort of smirked at their, you know, how pro gamers, it was quite funny to hear them say about pro gamers. And it's like, it's something that no one takes really seriously. It's like, it's nice if you are, but we're too busy playing the game ourselves to just want to sit down and watch. I mean, you know, I'll watch some Pokemon battles on the internet. I mean, you know, I'm subscribed to a bunch of channels. But basically, it's just to get tips and tricks of how I can sort of one up the competition. Kinesis in chat says 55% prepares the next spliff, and as you do that, I'm going to take a break because literally I need a break because I need a drink. And but yeah, I say your mate's, you know, probably going to join it for this clan. Might do if he has the time. But Major League Gaming, seriously, no one fucking cares about you. Fuck off, you know. All right, time for a break. See you in a bit.
That combination of
and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At AdamandEve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your haircut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the...
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow... is always their dick. He reaches in and his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
You know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast?
Not fast. I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard. kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe.
Nobody does that. Well, weird faggots. Who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Hey.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Oh, who are you joining next?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
a family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Now I'm realizing that this is all gonna be on fucking podcast. Oh boy.
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo too, if you remember.
Punch AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Oh, yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a heart covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh no! God, oh, no!
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? Not painful.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTs. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my God, it's hilarious!
him say it three more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, down, bow, down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, I haven't been to bed. Me and Mike met up with these two Scottish guys in the pub and they gave us all this cheap speed.
Tim, that's so tacky.
Yeah, I know. You know, they were so nice. I think if we'd have said no, they'd have got offended and beaten us to death with a pool cue.
Where's Mike now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Bring him up back. What are you playing?
It's a subtle blend of lateral thinking and extreme violence.
What? Like it's a knockout.
Did you want something?
No, not really.
Oh, there's a letter here for you. It came yesterday.
It's open.
Yeah, I opened it by accident because we've both got eyes in our names.
It's from Vulva.
Oh, yeah, is that another woman's magazine?
Vulva, it's an old friend. She's having a show tonight.
You've got a friend called Vulva? Who's called Vulva?
Real name's Ian.
Do you mean her real name's Ian?
She's non-gender specific.
Oh, what, you mean he's a tranny?
More than that.
What, big fat tranny?
Vulva. Had a multimedia performance art partnership before she moved on. Such aesthetic wonders. Such vibrant times.
Yeah, I can imagine.
No, we did valuable work. She was the beautiful one, really. I just danced to her tune. It was purity. It was physical. I mean, not in a sexual sense. No, we were collaborative. Don't expect you to understand. Most people don't want to hear, they just switch off. It's hard to hear the story of a love affair between two straight men, one of whom is the most divine woman alive.
So you're gonna go?
I don't know, I haven't seen her for ages.
No, I mean, are you gonna go now?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. A bunch of news this week, some good stuff actually, some really, really good stuff, some exciting stuff as well. Just sort of having a, sort of reading in the chat room at the moment, sort of talk about marrying for children. Actually, Matty's in the talk about, actually making jokes about Mersh. So it's safe to, he never listens. Well, no, I'm a bit actually a big fan of David Faustino, me and Matt in talking in the chat. He's in the Legend of Korra TV show. He plays Mako, which is, you know, I think named after the, you know, Mako who played General Iroh in, you know, Last Airbender. But yeah, I say, you know, he's really good in that show. It's worth a watch, you know. Somebody please buy me a big fluffy upper, please. Just I'll give you my address and you can send it to me. But no, I'll say this is one of the things as well. You know, talk about DLC. This has got some Games Radar. Sorry, next gen. Digital game prices are still too high. The digital future is here, apparently. Xbox One launched last week. This came out just at the end of November last week, a couple of weeks ago. And Microsoft has unveiled the digital download price in which launch games. They are, once again, ludicrous. $54.99 and $59.99 for Battlefield 4, whereas Zoo Tycoon is just under 50 quid and about $55. And Rise, which is actually a good price, actually, $44.99, but about you know, just under $50. Don't think I'm picking up on the... picking on Microsoft either. Sony's digital PlayStation 4 price, PlayStation 4 titles are similarly expensive. 53 quid for Knack. Shit. 63 quid for NBA Live. 63 for NBA Live 14. It's hugely disappointing. The dawn of the next generation was dawn of the next generation was the time to revolutionize the way we buy games. Yeah, I've been saying this for fucking ages, you stupid assholes. I have. I've been saying it's like digital games are... Canadian's update. 68%. it pisses me off, this whole digital stuff. You know, they're so expensive. It's like, you know, I could, to be honest, I say about, you know, what I said to earlier about wanting to get a copy of Arkham Asylum. It's more cheaper to buy digitally than it is to buy the actual game, from what I've seen. sorry, I'm just reading stuff in chat. But no, I'll carry on reading this article. Given the noise that both Sony and Microsoft have made about a digital future and how you can play games whilst they're still downloading, and how PSN and Xbox Live are the shop windows of the modern age, the fact that neither are offering any real incentive to buy digitally is laughable. It's not a new issue. Most have been complaining about the prices of digital versions for years, but these high prices don't even clearly towards short-sighted avarice in this brave new console generation. But the thing is, though, right? That's the game I need to buy as well. I can't remember. Sorry, I'm just looking at stuff offside. But no, it's like there's a small cost when it comes to like pressing the discs and making the boxes and all the paper and all that sort of stuff. But you still got to pay for everything else that comes on top, considering you got to pay for, you know, the cost of running a studio, the electricity bill, pay for your staff. I mean, there's so much money that goes into making games these days that they're going to charge this sort of price. But you're best off basically just dropping the digital stuff, because the whole thing with games these days is like, once I've bought something, I want to sell it on. I'm not going to keep it around forever. It's not, I mean, but a mate of mine, you know, who's let me use Resistance stuff, he's sitting on fucking dozens and dozens of games that he just doesn't sell. It's like, it'd be nice to do that, but I can't. I have to pass stuff on. I need to get some money back from this stuff. It's like, if they were charging half the price of these games, that's okay. But the thing is, it's you know what I said about when it comes to DLC. It's the attention span, because I can't think of it. It's the attention span of games. It's like, yeah, Grand Theft Auto, I think it's, you can download it now, you know, GTA 5 that is, but it's not, you know, I'm on my second playthrough, but how many playthroughs are you going to do of a game? You basically, you know, pretty much most of us, I agree, I don't know if people in the chat will agree with me, when you play a game, it's one and done, and if you've played it and you know how it ends, you know, you think about games like, I think about Heavy Rain and stuff like that. You know who the killer is and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I haven't played it, but I do know. And I think about, you know, the stuff you play again, Dead Space, yeah, that's a game you play again several times because it's got replayability. The games with replayability, you know, your multiplayer games, It's just a pain. It just you've got to have that replayability as a way of saying, yep, yeah, we can charge a digital price for this because it's got the replayability. But if it's, say, like, you know, the original BioShock, if you were going to charge, like, you know, 40 quid for a download for that, or, you know, 50-60 bucks, it has no you can play it a couple of times because it's a fun game, but how many people play a game more than twice, three times at a max? But that's the thing. That's the downside to digital. Digital download. It's like there's only so much you get. There's only so many times you're going to play a game, but you've got to justify. I think that's the thing when it comes to digital price. They've got to justify the cost of, you know, paying for everything. And I think, to be honest, I actually do think this is actually the developer's way and publisher's way of saying, we don't really want to go digital. We don't mind, you know, disc-based versions. We don't mind, you know, I mean, to be honest, I know they've been shouting, saying how they don't like second-hand sales because it benefits the stores. Then, you either, you know, nut up or shut up, and you do, you know, you either sell it digitally, you don't sell it to the stores, and you charge a cheaper price, because I don't want to pay, I mean, I'm not going to pay so much for a digital game, you know, basically the prices that I just read, for a game that's, you know, only going to be played once, if it's, you know, basically a single player only. Well, you know, Titanfall, definitely worth its replay value when that eventually comes out, but I don't know. Okay, I'll read the article. For those who haven't considered it before, here's the problem. War games cost plenty to make, what I just said. It's the hidden cost of creating and distributing a physical product that requires shops to standardize the price. Remove the cost of the actual Blu-ray discs, the plastic box, the cost, usual shipping, blah, 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 blah. You save a stack of cash. It's tough to quantify exactly how large the saving is, but a quick look at the cost of PC versions or multi-format games on Steam gives you a rough idea. It's maybe 10 quid or 15 bucks. And Steam still makes a hefty profit. Steam makes a hefty profit, but if these numbers are correct, then the publishers are making a hell of a lot of profit off of us. And it does make me wonder, it's like, well, shit, if you're making so much profit, why? Well, it's obvious why we're still getting charged for online play, because it's not, that profit doesn't go straight to the people who make the consoles, like Microsoft or Sony. It goes straight into their pockets. So with all these costs removed, why ask the consumers to still force to pay about 55 quid for FIFA 14 on PlayStation 4? Official responses in the past have never really provided a justification. It's because publishers like money. The simple fact is, to be honest, I wouldn't mind if the money went to, the profits actually went to make better games, but, you know, I say better games, new games, but we're still getting the same faults with games that we've always been getting, you know, day one patch code, you know, stuff like that. The fact is that Microsoft and Sony are happy to charge full price for digital games because they make more money from each transaction, and they remove the potential for player trading their game. Yes, the moves of player trading, which is basically what I said, or selling them privately. It's an incredibly short-sighted way of doing things. Console gamers are savvy. They will always hunt for the cheapest option. Yes, which is what I do quite often. And right now they're buying from online retailers like Amazon, which I sell my games on as well. You'll notice that I use the phrase console gamers. That's because PC users get their bargains on Steam, where games are more reasonably priced. And guess what has happened to the PC market? Actual sales of box games have steadily plummeted over the decade, while digital sales have gone through the roof. Why? Because the pricing is fairer and it has become the way things are done on PC. I see, you know, Jack Gill, Talk Radio Meltdown. He's a crazy man for a Steam sale. You know, you'll see him buy, like, you know, that 6-7 games, never play any of them, but he'll it's on sale, so he'll buy it like he wouldn't, you know, like it's going out of fashion. But yeah, so carry on. Microsoft and Sony want to have their cake and eat it. They want a digital future where players download all their games, but they still want to use the old disc-based pricing model. It won't work, or rather, it won't realize the true potential of digital buying until savings start to be passed on to the players. We get no savings in games. Buying digitally won't become the norm until it starts to feel good. Like you're getting a proper bargain, while downloading games continues to be viewed as expensive, the console makers will miss out on sales. And the industry will fail to grow as quickly as it should. Well, yeah, there we go. Now, one thing we can't really quantify at the moment is how digital prices will reduce with age on next gen. I'm hoping that actually not just digital sales, but actual real-world prices, like, you know, for box versions, goes cheaper as well, because, you know, there's games I want to buy, but I'm not buying at that price. I'll wait till someone else has bought it. This is probably best for passing round. Someone buys a game at, you know, 60 quid, and then just pass it round and, you know, pass a parcel or something. one of the best things about the virtual stores is that you never run out of space in the stock room. You can offer games years after their initial release at a reduced price, and anyone looking up for to pick up a hidden gem is just a search away from discovery and download. There's no need to go second hand, so developers get a full cut of the proceeds here because the price is low enough to be an impulse purchase. Yeah, I mean, I bought the Orange Box for like £4 for, you know, my Xbox. I haven't played it, but, you know, it's there. Again, well done, Steam. You get it right. You sell a huge stack of older games. In fact, you get a gold star for drawing attention to older games with extensive sales and promotions. Developers must love it when their games appear in Steam sales, and they get a whopping surge of people buying them, even if they make less money from each sale. That's still better than making no money off people who want impulse buying games in sales. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's all about the money, to be honest, really. Just sort of reading stuff from the chat now. Matt is in chat, says CD packaging, etc., cost less than a dollar in materials. Yeah, I mean, just the cost of what we're getting now for Stuart, are you going to buy me that fluffy upper? Go on the, was it Nickelodeon? I'll talk to you on Facebook. You can go buy it for me. But no, I say, you know, Matt says, you know, cost less than a dollar. But it's not as expensive as they make out to be. I mean, I can't imagine, say I buy, a brand new game from the Xbox 360, cost me like £40. I can't imagine that each box version, £10 of that is basically on the plastic, the pressing of the disc. They have to get discounts on this stuff. It's like, you know, when they buy the parts for the consoles, you get discounts when you buy so many hundred thousands of orders. It's just a pain in the ass. It really is. Yes, Fenn and chat zone. Weirdest thing is still GTA 5 cost me like $60 in the store. I can buy it via Live. It costs 70. Exactly. I mean, I've said this before with Assassin's Creed. Was it Assassin's Creed 4 on Xbox? On PlayStation 4. PlayStation. Sorry, I'm getting fucking nutted. Is it PlayStation 3? Yeah, I think it was £50 or £60. Yeah, I think it was like £50. I'm like, why are you charging so much? Why is the digital version more expensive than the actual box retail version? You know, that's the thing. It's sort of, developers need to get off their high horse when it comes to this sort of stuff. And, you know, I'm hoping that prices will go down, considering the fact that we get, when the PlayStation 3 first came out, you know, wow, it's a Blu-ray player. Blu-ray players are really expensive, but a PlayStation 3, it's worth the price. It's a Blu-ray player, and it also plays games, you know. But now, PlayStation 3s went down in price, but because Blu-ray players got even cheaper, so that's the thing. This is part of the whole DLC topic that I've been, you know, did the first part of the show on. We're still going to get screwed over when it comes to digital purchases, you know, whether it be DLC or just downloadable games. Matt in chat says a retailer will sell more copies, so it's profitable to let them sell it for less than the manufacturer. But yeah, that's the thing. See, there's profit here, there, and everywhere. But, you know, the only chance the actual, you know, the gamers we win with this sort of stuff is by, you know, shopping around, buying at a cheaper price. I mean, you know, but the thing is, though, I mean, Steam doesn't, you know, in that article it's about Steam, it's like, they do a good thing. They talk about, what the fuck was I going to say? Lost me train of thought now. They do promotions and stuff. I don't really see, I mean, yes, we do hear about promotions and stuff, but it's very minimal. But that's why Xbox doesn't do promotions, because they don't have to. You know, people will, if they won't want to buy the game, they'll buy it at that higher price. I mean, we're getting free games now because these are old games that people have played. I mean, I'd love to download Dead Rising, the original Dead Rising, original Dead Rising for as an Xbox Live, free game, because the game was amazing. The guest and chat, change name guest, on PSN they sell for like $60. Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's still really, really expensive. Fan in the chat says, but it wouldn't turn around if they sold it cheaper in the online, but wouldn't it turn around? Yes, that's the thing, that's what I've been saying. They can sell it cheaper in the online store, but then they've got all these profits that they're going to miss out on. So basically, until we get to the day when it becomes fully digital, there is no disc-based games. It's literally, you just download the game, then it will be cheaper, because then the prices will go down and everything, because you won't need, I mean, this is probably why that's the thing right here. There's a comparison, but the Oya, that little box thing, that's pretty much dying out, because that's all disc-based games, it's basically a Steam box, it's not Steam box, it's an Android thing. It's all downloadable only. But that's not, it's not doing what it's supposed to, what it should be. I mean, it's sort of like the prototype idea for what they want on the Steam box. But the Steam box, that's going to cost, $500? Just half a grand. Obviously. But, it's make or break. It's like, we either keep following, we either keep following the disc-based method, which we have now, and things carry on going as they are, and games get more and more expensive, or we go digital and games go down in price. But the thing is, it all depends on how much profit that developers want to make, that Microsoft wants to make, and it's, but as I said, before when I talk about DLC, choose, buy with your vote with your wallet. You're the one who buys this sort of stuff. You need to be, we as a community need to be the judge of this sort of stuff. I don't know. It's one of those things. It's, I'm afraid to say something because that could be wrong, or that could, eventually that might happen, or this will happen, but I don't know. I mean, I'm expecting some sort of big change. This is random. I'm thinking maybe we might get some sort of, what the hell is it? What am I thinking? That we'll probably get one of the companies, Microsoft or Sony, will probably come out sometime towards the end of this console's life cycle, about 6 years or something, six, 7 years or something, with a downloadable only version of the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox One. I'm thinking we'll probably get that as a tester, to be honest, with, to see if we can go fully digital. Because, I mean, the internet is evolving all the time with, fiber optic broadband, stuff like that, which I know me and Kaneza got. It's just a pain. It really is. It's like we want stuff cheaper. We don't want to pay huge, giant prices for this stuff, But I'll say I've spent too much time on this article. I need to go. Where's that one I was looking for? This weekend we had the VGX, Video Game Awards. Next topic. The VGX, the Video Game Awards, happened. We saw a bunch of trailers. I haven't seen anything worth talking about. Nobody liked this Joe McHale. I have no idea who the fuck that is. It was basically a shambles, and people are saying how shitty it was. And I said, I got on Kotaku about this. I was like, people don't like this because it's an award show for games. And, as I've said, any award show is a waste of damn time, considering the fact, with the movies, TVs, these people have already been paid for what their work they've done. So what the hell is an award going to do, apart from trying to get more work in the next thing? But with gaming, it's like, we've already paid over the price for games. And this award means absolutely bugger all to anyone. But yeah, that's pretty much me covering the Video Game Awards. Because basically no one gives a flying monkey's toss. just sort of, yeah, there we go. The Walking Dead, season 2, release date revealed. This is from IGN. Walking Dead Season 2 will begin on December 17th, according to the game's Steam listing. We're expecting versions to appear on consoles on this date as well, though. Seriously, people, you need to proofread your shit. I'll do it for your IGN, because, you know, you're worth, was it, 70, 60 million now? You poor bastards. It says, though we have reached out to Telltale to confirm that this will be the case, as it stands, you can purchase the whole season via Steam for a 10% discount. See, discount and stuff. I mean, you can, see, that's the thing, right? About, you know, DLC and discounts, though. How come Steam gets to do this discounted stuff and still makes profit for the companies, whereas, well, I've said it, haven't I? It's basically the same profit stuff. It's the profit margin. Get 10% off Steam. It's on there for £17 and 9p rather than the usual £18.99. The game's description reads, many months have passed since the events seen in season one, the end of season one of The Walking Dead, and Clementine is searching for safety. But what can an ordinary child do to stay alive when the living can be just as bad and sometimes worse than the dead? As Clementine, you will be tested by situations and dilemmas that will test your morals and your instincts for survival. Your decisions and actions will change the story around you in the sequel to the 2012's Game of the Year. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a big fan of the Walking Dead. I like this game more than the actual TV show, because I sort of watched the first series of of the Walking Dead, and I'm like, okay, I don't care anymore. I'm it was boring and I gave up. Fan is very happy for the Clementine. First video game kid I didn't hate. Yeah, exactly. Clementine was great. She was the best. Very, very sad at the end of first season, though. I mean, it was like, you know, I wanted to change what happened to Lee. I was like, no, you can't. That's a fixed thing. I was like, why? Such a good characters. See, you know, they can do it right. They can make good characters with, you know, and good story. And why can't half the other games that I play? But no, here we go. Let's talk about DLC. This is, I got this right before the first show started. Assassin's Creed 4, Blackbeard's Wrath, DLC release date. This is from IGN. Ubisoft has officially announced Blackbeard's Wrath, the first multiplayer DLC for Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, will be available later today on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, and Xbox 360, and PC, for just under $3, or for free for anyone with a season pass. I still haven't played any of the DLC online mode. As we'd originally reported, the DLC will see three new characters join the game's multiplayer: Blackbeard, the Jaguar, can't read, and the Orchid. While Blackbeard's skill set will focus on using strength to throw targets off balance and finishing them off with one clean strike, the Orchid will use training she obtained serving. See, this is bullshit. It doesn't matter. It's the same. It's a character skin, people. It's not. There is no difference between the characters. It's basically you simply walk up to the other character and you stab him in the back. That's all it is. It's Assassin's Creed. DLC's out today. Any more we'll probably get in the future. So, you know, go out and play it as it's Tuesday, you know, the usual day that all DLC come out. Where's this bloody... there's an article that I found that was... one sec, I'm just trying to find it. It was really good. Really good news. I just can't... here we go. Yes, got it. This is from IGN. Desert Strike trademarks filed by EA. These applications suggest EA could be looking to revive one of its old series. Electronic Arts could be looking forward to revive the classic Desert Strike series if new trademark filings are an accurate indication. Two new trademark filings made in late November have been discovered on the US Patent and Trademark Office's website. These list EA as the company filing for them, but provide no additional information or substance or interest. EA has yet to formally announce anything regarding its intentions to the future of Desert Strike. When contacted for comment regarding the applications, EA told IGN, nothing to announce today. So basically, something's going to happen, but we won't know about it today. We'll be know about it in the future. Maybe next year's E3. The Desert Strike games were isometric shooters where players spent most of their time in the control of a helicopter. The first game in the series debuted in 1992 and saw several sequels coming in the coming years, each with a different word before Strike: Jungle Strike, Urban Strike, Soviet Strike, Nuclear Strike. Yeah, the last was Nuclear Strike, which was originally released in 1997. I am a massive fan of the Strike games. They are amazing. I didn't play Jungle. I brought my mates and asked to play Urban Strike. I'm gonna kick the microphone over. I did play a whole load of Desert Strike. I love that game. That game was amazing. And I'm a big fan of Soviet Strike. I think I might have played Nuclear Strike, but it wasn't that good. Soviet Strike. That was a great. It had like real world characters, and I think I put like was it Boris Yeltsin? Yeah, I think he was in it as well. Not himself, but they had an actor and stuff. But yeah, he was drunk in it. It was quite funny actually. I'm sort of did fill my my boots with a bit of a what do you call it? Playing some. What the fuck was the game? I can't remember. That helicopter game I played a little while ago. Thunderwolves. There we go. Yeah, that sort of filled my niche a little bit. But just, if we can go back to the old, isometric style, Desert Strike type games, I'd love that. That'd be great. But yeah, I can't wait. If they make that, it'd be really good. I'm a big fan of Strike. All we need now is Road Rash. I like getting nostalgic about all the good old games. Here we go. So this is something from DICE isn't developing a Battlefield game for 2014. Scroll too far again. According to industry analyst Michael Pachter, EA says Battlefield 4 developer DICE isn't working on a sequel to the series for 2014. Kotaku reports Pachter relayed the news to both investors and media on Friday. Rumours have swirled for some time, stating that Battlefield franchise would move into a yearly release schedule similar to Call of Duty. Although they have not yet announced a version of Battlefield for fiscal year 2015, they confirmed that our understanding is spot on. If a version of Battlefield were to be released in fiscal year 2015, it would be developed by a studio other than DICE. This is what Pachter said. EA's fiscal year 2015 runs from April 24th. Yeah, of course, we know all that. Of course, this doesn't mean a different developer isn't working on a sequel to Battlefield 4 for next year. DICE has previously announced Star Wars Battlefront and Mirror's Edge 2 are in the pipeline for the studio. But with two more titles on the deck, DICE is facing considerable upheaval over the server issues on Battlefield 4. But to be honest, though, Michael Pachter is a lazy bastard, because I know I've read on this show or somewhere that EA have said they don't want to make a Battlefield a yearly thing. They'll do it when it's ready. But there's amount of problems that people are having with Battlefield 4 when it comes to the issues with the servers. This shit's been said already. It's like, they don't want to make an annual thing. It's come out and said it, and now he's repeating it. That's the thing. That's why I don't like Michael Pachter, because he's so full of shit. It's like, you're saying the stuff. I know you're reading between the lines, but we can read between the lines too. We don't need you reading between the lines and then telling us, because we can already do it. It's a waste of damn time. And they give this guy a show and they pay him money to do this stuff. It's like, Jesus Christ. That really puts really puts us down when it comes to, what we're getting. Stuart in chat says, Bad Company 3? Possibly. Don't know. So I never really played any of the Battlefield Bad Company games. I played the demo for the multiplayer back in the day. But, I've never been a Battlefield fan. I tried to get into it. I just play so much Call of Duty. It just feels different. I was talking about DLC. It's quite a DLC-focused show this week. This is my IGN. Substantial GTA 5 story DLC coming in 2014. Heist coming to GTA on GTA Online 2 in 2014. This game should have been put back. Rockstar Games has revealed that GTA 5's first story-centric add-on will arrive in 2014 and stars the original cast of Michael, Trevor and Franklin. On Rockstar's Newswire, the developer said, "We have big plans for substantial additions in 2014, continuing Michael, Franklin, Trevor's actions, mayhem and unexpected adventures in southern San Andreas." Additionally, Rockstar details the future of its online multiplayer. A big update hits this week with Deathmatch and the race creator beta rolling out. Later in the month, we'll see 4 capture mode variants, raid, contend, hold, and GTA, which Rockstar will detail soon. Finally, on the subject of online heists, a developer wrote, "Heists are currently in development, and we are working very hard to get... You should have held this game back for at least until next year." I said about Battlefield with the issue servers. This has to set a precedent for Rockstar. It's like, you need to, if your game's not ready, and it's nowhere near ready coming out, hold it back. Leave it. Don't send out, this is what the problem with the games these days. It's like, you either make a game, send it out, and then you charge DLC prices for bits and pieces of it, or you put out a game that's not even fully ready yet. This is the game that everyone said was a 9 out of 10 and 10 out of 10. But we still don't even have access to the full game yet. Rockstar has plenty of more to announce for GTA 5 in the future as well. For more on that, stay fuck off IGN, you cunts. I'm a big fan of GTA. I want some more stuff DLC wise, but the thing is that I'm done with it. I'm sort of like that person I read in the article about the DLC. It's like, I've played it, several times, second playthrough, but, I want heists and, I don't know, it's just not too little too late. It's just the game wasn't there when it should have been. It's, you should have just kept it, just done some, did a bit more work on it, made it, just held it back and, wait until it was finished. Oh, Jesus Christ. There we are. This might actually shed a bit of light on the Dead Space thing we were talking about earlier. This is from IGN. Dead Space, Star Wars developer hiring for new IP. What else is going on at EA's Redwood Studios, Redwood Shore Studio? Visceral Games appears to be hiring for a new IP. New job listings for environmental artist and an older one for a technical art director. This is a major opportunity to contribute creatively to an exciting new IP. None of the positions detailed delve further into what they may entail. The Dead Space developer is known to be working on a next-gen Star Wars game, perhaps in collaboration with EA Canada. But there have been a few suggestions. Additional projects. But there have been a few suggestions about additional projects until now. Earlier this year, Frank Gibeau stated that Dead Space that Dead Space sequels were still possible, so it hasn't been cancelled. Electronic Arts are also plans to make Star Wars games for the next 10 years. Yeah, I think I've read that before, but it still seems it won't be anything Visceral's working on. And I don't mind. I don't mind that they're working on additional stuff. For Star Wars and stuff. That sounds great. I'm looking forward to a new Battlefront from when we get that from EA and whatever happens with whatever. But like, finish off Dead Space. Dead Space sequels? Nah. Give me Dead Space 4. Finish off the story. Just end it there. Four games is enough. You don't want to keep rolling it out because literally, I mean, in 10 years, when we get, you know, 10, 15 years, when we get to the end of the, you know, the Xbox One, PlayStation 4 life cycle, I don't want to be playing Dead Space 8. I mean, you know, you can't keep the game going. I mean, you know, even with Assassin's Creed, that's going to have, you know, that's going to have its own, you know, finish. Hopefully soon, to be honest, because, you know, they've been dragging the game out long enough. And, you know, Eligible Monster, go onto their YouTube channel, watch all their Assassin's Creed stuff. It's very, very interesting. And it's like, I think they totally sort of, you know, jumped the shark with what they were trying to do with, you know, with Assassin's Creed. It's like, you've gone this far and now you've messed up and it's, you know, I don't know. But yeah, so I'll finish off the show with this because I've got a few minutes left and I want to do the old usual bits at the end. This is my gen. Tomb Raider Definition Edition. Definitive Edition. There we go. Coming to Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Rebuilt graphics and all DLC included. So basically, it's a super edition. Square Enix has announced Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. A new version of 2013's Tomb Raider title, rebuilt specifically for next-gen consoles and due out on January 28th, 2014. So, that's not bad. It's only a couple of months. The edition is priced at just under $60 for Xbox One and PlayStation 4. In addition to the new version of the game includes all of DLC, including the Tomb of the Lost Adventurer, six outfits for Lara, a digital mini art book. A digital mini art book. It's digital. Why would it be mini? Digital comic, The Beginning. Amazon also has an art book packaging edition listed for each console, which includes an insider look at exclusive and performing concept art. Is any of this stuff... Do people actually give a shit about the old exclusive concept art? According to Square Enix, the definitive edition features an obsessively... What? Hang on. Obsessively detailed Lara and a fully realised lifelike world. A new Lara Croft model has been created and Trez FX technology brings realistic hair simulation and motion plus shaders and lighting have been reworked to showcase the raw physicality of Lara's journey through sweat, mud, blood, materials and effects. It will run on a 1080p resolution and all textures have been created at 4x resolution for maximum resolution and detail, plus characters, enemies, environments have been enhanced for added depth and realism. I'm looking forward to seeing this, to be honest. There's more in this article, but to be honest, I don't really give a shit. Hang on, what the hell? What's going on here? Sorry, I'm just reading for that from the chat. Shadow of the Thought of Doctor Who games on the I don't think anyone would be. Well, I don't know. To be honest, that'd be actually good if, you know, Telltale did, you know, once they've done with the Game of Thrones stuff and the Walking Dead stuff, maybe like a Doctor Who point and click adventure. I mean, I know there's been sort of other games. I mean, I watched some whole YouTube video about how Doctor Who has been appearing in other games, and, you know, I think it was Beneath the Fallen Sky. That was some stuff in there about it. Fenn basically hit the nail on head, basically what I was gonna say. Yeah, a game where you solve every puzzle with the same item. Yeah, you just use a sonic screwdriver. But yeah, I say, you know, that's pretty much all it would be. It wouldn't be too much of anything else. That's it. That's all it does. It's just, you know, point the sonic screwdriver at it and it'll work. Yeah, I don't know. So thanks for listening, everyone. So it's pretty much at the end of the show now. So if you do want to contact us, you can always call in. It's Antisocial Gamer Radio on Skype. It's all one word. If you want to email us, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. Join us on the Facebook group. Get yourself in there with a couple of new members to join us past week. It's facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like us on Facebook. It would be appreciated. I think we're up to 77 at the moment. It's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also, follow us on Twitter @MLRGamerRadio. You know, let us know that you're following us on Twitter and I'll follow you back. Because literally, I get so much fucking spam. I've got, not spam, it's like, you know, just, it's weird, you know, all the shit that I'm getting from, like, you know, promotional agencies and, you know, some sort of club that's following me, and, you know, weird bunch of shit. But yeah, so next week, topic is, you know, PC, gaming, how that compares, how that will compare with the current generation of Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Don't forget, as it's, you know, Tuesdays, we have, Alcohol by Volume up next, Unsigned Hype, with Sir Darkseid, Johnny Five, the greatest rapper in the world. And also we have Dutch and Royce to, finish out the night. And yeah, it's a pretty good Tuesday, actually. Yeah, Fan, give me one sec. Let me just wrap up the show, and then I will send you a link and everything. Just give me one sec. But yeah, say thanks for listening, people. I will be back next week. I'm going to play some more Resistance 2 because it is awesome. I might, you know, just treat myself to a newish game. I don't know, maybe a God of War title or something. I don't know. I need something new to play because it's just sort of nothing to play at the moment, and I need something to play. I've still got, you know, Final Fantasy 8 to get into, but it's a whole bunch of stuff. But that's pretty much it for me this week, and I will speak to you all again soon. See you soon, people.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, yeah, what a sure. Bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
Woman can
from everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or north or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate.